News Radio 1070 WINA. You're listening to Charlottesville right now as we go beyond the headlines, digging deeper into the stories that matter to you. Football season right around the corner, especially for high school folks and even some of the college folks who are playing nearby. And there has been a college football head impact study, and it has some suggestions, some steps to help reduce the risk. And for players, a lack of practice regulations comes at unnecessary high cost, according to the authors of the paper. The paper is in the Journal of Neurosurgery. And Bryson Reynolds is a doctoral candidate over at the University of Virginia and helped participate in this. So give us the scoop. Give us the broad view here.
Right. So we, with the UVA football team players, we recorded the head impacts of the players during practices and games with a small device that they wore behind their ear. And what we found is we found differences, clear differences, between these different practice types and games that they experienced. So differences between their helmet-only practices, their shell practices, where they wear the shoulder pads and the helmet, and then with the full padded practices.
And what were those differences? What did you find?
So we found, clear differences in the number of head impacts that these guys are experiencing. So, for example, helmet-only impacts receive roughly 10% the number of impacts as a game, whereas a shell practice will experience 50% the number of impacts as a game, and a full padded practice will be about 70% the number of impacts as a game.
And so with all of that information, what's the discovery?
What we found were the clear differences in these practice types, and why that's useful is currently the NCAA doesn't regulate these different practice types directly, and they cite a lack of evidence that there are any differences between these practice types with regard to head impact.
So you folks at the University of Virginia School of Medicine are actually coming up, you're developing this evidence for the NCAA.
Yeah, I think that they're the people who would benefit the most from this data, and possibly use this data and hopefully future research that looks into this to help develop their regulations with regard to practice types.
1070 WINA, we're talking about a head impact study that's been published from the University of Virginia. Bryson Reynolds is with us today. And so what's different between the NCAA and the NFL is that the NFL does have some regulation involved. Is that correct?
Yes, they do. The NFL, from the 2011 collective bargaining agreement from the NFL Players Association, they set a limit of 14 contact practices during the season, and a few more during preseason. And if you compare that to what we recorded here, what we recorded is during the preseason and season, we recorded a total of 56 contact practices, if you use the same measure that the NFL uses.
So what does information like that indicate to the NCAA? If you were advising them, what would that advice be?
You know, I think that what it shows is that, you know, what they've talked about previously is that they don't have enough data to show that there are differences between these different practice types. And because there are no differences in their mind, or at least there's not evidence to show that there are differences, there's no reason to regulate these practice types. You know, there's no reason to, from an NCAA level, tell the coaches that you can only have, you know, two practices of one type in a week, or however they wanted to do it. So we're not, you know, in the business of telling the NCAA what type of regulations they should do, but mm-hmm. Hopefully this data will help spur them to create maybe some sort of regulations in regard to this.
Has there been a look? Have you correlated your evidence with the evidence that the NFL is looking at to see if they're similar or dissimilar?
No, I mean, while it'd be great to get our hands on some NFL data, currently we don't have those connections. And currently I don't believe the NFL is actively recording any of this head impact data in their practices and games.
So will you folks continue to record this data to get as much as you can? Because I guess everybody knows the deeper the well, the better it is.
Right. So currently we're not, we don't have any active studies that are recording this head impact data, but we do have hope in the future that, you know, with more funding and greater interest in this topic, that we may be able to keep recording this type of information in the future in football and in other sports.
So you package this up and you send it up the chain to the NCAA. Do you know how long it might be before they take a look at it and maybe consider it?
Yeah, so we don't actually send this directly to the NCAA. The way they see it is through the paper itself and through the media coverage.
Well, you've got a little media coverage now.
Yep.
And the paper is published online in the Journal of Neurosurgery. Bryson Reynolds, thank you very much. Appreciate your time here this afternoon.
Thank you very much.